Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship at Wesley Memorial. A huge welcome to you, whether you're here in the building with us or on Zoom, and whether you're visiting here for the first time, maybe looking for a new church home, you are all very welcome. Everyone is welcome here. I'm Jenny. I'm one of the stewarding team here at Wesley Mem. And just to let you know, there will be tea and coffee and squash refreshments in the hall after the service, so that's through the door over there on your right, and we would love the chance to get to know you better if you're able to stay. The main notice that I have this morning is about Time and Again, which is our concert of songs from the Wesley Mem musicals. It's coming up on the 28th of February at 6 p.m. That is now less than 2 weeks away. So partly to say, if you haven't yet booked your ticket and you're planning to come, well, we hope you're planning to come. If you haven't yet booked your ticket, please do so, so that we can keep track of numbers. So there's an easy way to do that through Eventbrite, and the QR code is printed in various places. If you're not comfortable with Eventbrite, you can also contact Joe in the office, and Joe will make a note of your request for a ticket. And then the other thing to say about that is that we have chefs for the meals that we're providing for the cast and crew, but we don't have enough, let's say, kitchen assistants, so people to prepare the food, serve the food, and help wash up afterwards. So on Thursday and Friday this week, and on Friday and Saturday the following week, we are looking for help with those practical kitchen tasks. So if anybody is able to help, please let me know, you could let Esther know, just let somebody know, and we will be really grateful for your help. I'm delighted to hand over to Miriam to lead our service. Miriam is the minister of this church and the superintendent of the Oxford Circuit. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you, Jenny. Good morning, friends. It's lovely to see you on this very damp, grey and miserable day, but I hope you enjoyed some sunshine yesterday, friends. We gather here in the name of Jesus on this Sunday before we move into the season of Lent. As we gather, I invite you just to know a few things about our worship if you haven't been here before. When there are words to respond with, they will appear on the screens behind me. Usually in yellow type. So if you would like to respond in those words, please do within prayers as we go through our service. We do tend to stand to sing, but if seated is more comfortable for you, then please do so. Above all, you are welcome in this place. Let's just be still for a moment as we gather here in the presence of God. And let us pray. Blessed be God, who creates out of nothing, who shapes beauty out of chaos, breathes life into dust, delights in designing difference, and embodies in each human the image of our Maker. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God, who gives each person a purpose, calling the young and the old for wisdom and energy, refusing to discriminate in terms of race or gender, intellect or giftedness, affirming forgotten worth, identifying hidden potential, redeeming deep regrets. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God who forsakes heaven to live on earth, who in Jesus is truly flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, vulnerable to pain, rumour and conflict, open to question, committed to heal, sentenced to death, destined for resurrection, vindicating the power and the love of God, ever holy, ever one. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be the Maker, the Son, and the Spirit in our lives and our worship. Amen. Friends, we turn to our first song for today. If you happen to be following in a hymn book, it's in the red hymn book, number 3. Eternal God, your love's tremendous glory, we sing together. Continue in prayer for just a moment. Let us pray. Holy One, you are the word behind all words, the calm at the core of the storm, the energy that sustains your creation. You are present in the pain behind the tears, the laughter in the eyes, the yearning in the heart. All these you share. Yet your gift to us is so much more. So, Holy One, we pray that you would open us up. We whose lives are locked, whose thoughts are well rehearsed, whose prayer is sometimes predictable. Open us up to depths we have not explored, truths we have avoided, paths we have not followed.
beauty we have yet to admire. And above all, we pray, open us up to Jesus, in whom all things are held together for God and for our good. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, those of you who attend the church regularly here will know that I tend to use a video clip at the beginning of our all-age talk. So if folks want to try and get somewhere where they can see a screen, we have just a very short one today, very short one. And we're carrying on the theme from 2 weeks ago, which was Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul. So for those of you who don't know the film Vengeance Most Foul, last time I was with you, we saw the gnome Norbot being introduced and destroying Gromit's beautiful garden. Now, Norbot the gnome is an invention of Wallace. And here, it's about a minute and a half, if that, we're going to see Norbot the gnome causing a bit more chaos. Thank you, Frank.
Evening, Master Gromit. Norbot, recharge time.
Very quick one today, friends. But we saw in that clip, Gromit's having a nice time. He's reading his book in bed. He's listening to the radio. And all of a sudden, along comes Norbot, because he needs to be recharged. Now, I'm sure all of us don't have a little plug socket here in our stomachs where we need to actually recharge on electricity. But sometimes I think we all need to recharge our energy. Feeling a bit tired this morning. Anyone? Yep, quite a few of you. It's something about coming out in the rain as well, isn't it, that I think makes you think, oh dear, do I have to? But we all need to recharge our energy. And sometimes too, we need to recharge our faith energy. I wonder what might be the things that you do to recharge your energy. Sleep is probably one of them. But it might be doing something that you enjoy, something that feeds you, something that brings you life. I love to read, and I might have spent 3 hours longer reading before I went to sleep last night than I should have done. So I could do with some recharging today. But I wonder, what do we do to recharge our energy, to recharge our batteries, but also to recharge our faith? Do we pray? Do we read our Bible? Do we talk to each other about how God is working in our lives? Over this half term, our young people, I hope you have a chance to recharge. Adults, parents, I hope you also find some time to recharge, perhaps after half term. But I pray that all of us might find a way to recharge ourselves, to recharge both our physical energy and our faith energy in this season. Imagine yourself plugging in to that thing which gives you energy. Imagine yourself afresh, plugging in to God's energy. We're going to sing again, if you're following in a hymn book. It's number 362, Meekness and Majesty. We sing together. Please do be seated. We're going to pray for our young people and their leaders as they prepare to go to their groups this morning. So let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for all people, for all who are here today and those who would wish to be with us. We pray particularly for our young people and their leaders today. Guide them and keep them. Help them to recharge their energy as they learn more of you. And we pray that we may do so as we remain also. So we say together, the Lord be with you. Friends, the choir are now going to sing our anthem, O Nata Lux. Friends, on this Sunday where we hear the story of the Transfiguration, we're going to now hear our scripture readings, first from Exodus and then from the Gospel according to Matthew. And Elizabeth and Jenny are going to read for us. Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua and went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Look, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up onto the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the Israelites. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.
And the gospel reading is from Matthew's gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Thank you so much, Elizabeth and Jenny. We're going to sing again before we think a little more about our readings. At number 259, if you're following in a hymn book, "Jesus on the Mountain Peak," we sing together. Please do be seated. Would you pray with me for just a moment? Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we hear your word of scripture, words of mystery, of majesty, of magnificence, but also of fear and overwhelm. As we reflect on our text this morning, we pray that by your Spirit, you may encourage us, challenge us, prompt in us your word. And may the words that I offer be acceptable in your sight. In the name of Christ. Amen. Friends, in my spare time, that which I have of it, I am a keen and, I must confess, very amateur photographer, mostly of landscape and the natural world, but sometimes also of architecture and even people. I'm very nosy and I like people watching. I try not to take pictures of people that I don't know without their consent, but sometimes there's just a moment that you might want to capture. My favourite place to try and capture images is by the sea at either sunset or sunrise, mostly sunset, as I'm not an early morning person. But clearly, living in Oxford, I don't get the greatest opportunities for seaside photography, although we have some new lakes building around us currently at this moment. But when I do, I can be found in some rather odd positions, crouching on a beach, lying on my back on a pier, sitting very still on a sea wall, trying to capture that perfect moment, trying to get the light in the image just right, the reflections, the movement of the water, the position of the sun. I can sit for hours and hours, yet there is beauty in those moments. Amidst the glory of God's creation, with the wind howling in my ears, the spray salty on my face, and sometimes a quick drenching from an unexpectedly large wave, or a deposit on the shoulder from a high-flying seagull. These are the moments, friends, or some of them, where I see the glory of God. I wonder if you have those moments in your life, glimpses of God's glory, moments where something is truly beautiful and you want to capture it in its perfection. It may be in the arms of your loved ones. It may be over a conversation with a person who just gets you. It may be in the eyes of a child or even a beloved pet, or in the beauty and fragrance of nature in all of its wild, untamable joy. Where do you see glory? God's glory. Do we see it in the scriptures? I hope so. And as we run and walk and laugh, cry, love, learn and grow in this life, in the changing scenes of all our lives and the life of the world, where is God? And are there moments where we fail to see? In our gospel set for today, we have the story of the transfiguration that precedes the season of Lent in the life of the church. We are led into Lent by this vision of great glory as we are invited to see Jesus for who he is, divine, mysterious and magnificent, as well as made of human flesh and bone. Jesus takes Peter, James and John up a high mountain by themselves, and he is transfigured before them, his face shining like the sun, his clothes dazzling white. Surely this is mysterious enough. Yet the figures of the prophets Moses and Elijah also appear. Here we find the juxtaposition of mystery and magnificence with the deeply human disciples who want to capture this moment, to prolong it, and to set up camp, even three tents in this place. Then God speaks through a bright cloud, naming Jesus his beloved son. The disciples understandably fall to the ground and are overcome by fear. And Matthew's narrative here tells us that Jesus came and touched them, telling them not to be afraid. Matthew's narrative of the Transfiguration very clearly echoes the events of Moses' encounter with God that we heard read from Exodus. We have the mountaintop, we have the cloud, we have 6 days later, at the very beginning of this text, we have an overwhelming magnificence and glorious vision. Jesus' face shines as Moses' face shone following his encounter with God. Matthew's audience would have caught the resonances from the Hebrew scriptures here. But I would like to draw from this text two particular aspects. No, I'm not going for the three-point sermon today, or taking inspiration from John Wesley's rather long tomes. The first point is the power of the touch of Jesus to relieve fear. And the second is to continue this earlier theme of where the holy might be encountered in the midst of a suffering world. In verse 6 of chapter 17 of Matthew's Gospel, when the disciples hear the voice of God, they fall to the ground and are overcome by fear. A perfectly reasonable response. But note what Jesus does here. He doesn't just verbally tell them to get up and to not be afraid. He touches them. Jesus reaches out his hand, touches them, and reassures them in the midst of their fear. Does anything banish our fears more than a simple human touch when needed and from a trusted one? God, who made the heavens and the earth, God whose we are, is willing to come among us, to reach out, touch us, and still our fears. Jesus, God with us, uses human contact to alleviate fear. An extraordinary moment as Jesus is fully revealed in all his glory. He comes to them and touches them. This is the way, friends, that God comes into the world, not simply in the brilliant cloud of mystery, not only a voice thundering from heaven, but also a human hand laid upon a shoulder. God also comes to us quietly, gently, that we may draw near and not be afraid. God's glory and magnificence and power and majesty, it could be said, are surpassed by God's willingness to shed them all in Jesus, in order that we might encounter and recognize God's love and gentleness alongside power and majesty. The measureless power that made the heavens and earth concentrates in a hand reaching out. Mother Julian of Norwich wrote in the 1300s, God is everything that is good. All life's pleasures and comforts are sacramental. They are God's hands touching us. They are God's hands touching us. Isn't that something extraordinary? The hand of God in the touch of the human Jesus reaching to us in love. No matter who we are, what our background, where we come from, who we love, our identity. God reaching out a hand to the diversity of creation, saying, do not be afraid. You are not alone. Do not be afraid. You are loved. Get up and go, and do not be afraid. To move on to the second theme for a moment, in the midst of a suffering world, where might we encounter the holy, and how might we help others to do so? Peter, James, and John on the mountaintop with Jesus, Moses, Elijah, in the midst of glory and dazzling white, want to build a safe sanctuary away from the world, to be content in the moment, to keep Jesus from what he has just revealed to them is yet to come, suffering, pain, and death. But they cannot keep him in that moment. They cannot stop time, and neither can we, however much we might want to sometimes. Yet when we have encountered that which we see as holy ground, we so often want to stay there. If I feel I have captured a wonderful moment in a photo, and it doesn't happen very often, but there is a longing to stay there in that time. Yet the Transfiguration story reminds us that we, like the disciples, are called to live in a world without Jesus' bodily presence, in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, as Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians has it. God prepares us in the holy ground, transcendent moments of our lives, to sometimes endure the world of the cross, the world that has the ability to break us and yet is never beyond God's redemption. These encounters happen on a mountaintop with a blinding light for some. For most, they happen in ordinary moments, in our coffee shops, in our parks, in our food banks, in our night shelters, in our homes, in our churches even. Any place where we make a space for the holy to be present, and maybe sometimes don't even realize that we are. The Transfiguration offers the disciples and us the paradox that while there is nothing they can do to save themselves from suffering, it is part of the fabric of the world. There is also no way they can shield themselves from the light of God that sheds hope in their darkest moments, in war and persecution, in crisis and hatred, in the rise of the far right and unchecked abuse. The Transfiguration was the way for Jesus to prepare companions for the sacred journey, to offer something to hold on to in the crushing realities of the world. The world, friends, that we are called to inhabit, the world in which we still encounter the holy, the world to which Jesus calls us. God will find us when our hearts are broken and when we discover joy. God will find us when we feel like running away and when we're full of God's glory. So we, like those disciples on the mountain, are called, having experienced the glory of God, to get up and not to be afraid, to be attentive and open to wonder and beauty and God's glory in the everyday moments of our lives. A story and a poem to conclude with. A week ago, I had the privilege of presiding at my cousin Izzy's wedding. At the reception afterwards, I was taking some snapshots of people on my phone. That was partly because I was so exhausted by the energy of having to lead the service that I was looking at my phone so I didn't have to talk to people, if I'm honest. Not paying too much attention, just snapping photos. Now, I took a photo of one of my second cousins, Elia, who was a bridesmaid, aged 4. And she had grabbed my sister's hand and was encouraging my sister to dance. Now, my sister and I have as little enjoyment of dance as each other, so you can imagine how that went. I took a few snaps, and when I looked at the picture afterwards, I came across such a beautiful image of Elia beaming with joy, with love and with light reflecting from her face. In that moment, I experienced the holy. And to conclude with a poem from Mary Oliver, which I think reminds us to be attentive to the holy around us. It's called Look and See. This morning at Waterside, a sparrow flew to a water rock and landed by error on the back of an eider duck. Lightly it fluttered off, amused. The duck too was not provoked, but you might say was laughing. This afternoon, a gull sailing over our house was casually scratching its stomach of white feathers with one pink foot as it flew. O Lord, how shining and festive is your gift to us in the holy, if we only look and see. Amen. Friends, in a few moments, we're going to sing our next hymn. I've very deliberately picked this hymn of stillness, number 20, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, to lead us into a time of prayer once we have taken up our offering. If you prefer to remain seated to sing this song, then please do, to lead us into prayer. But please do also stand if that is more fitting for you in that moment. We're going to sing together number 20, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
Friends, I'm going to switch around our offering and our prayers. So our prayers of intercession will come next. Let's still ourselves as we prepare to pray. Within our prayers, there is a response. When I say through our lives and by our prayers, would you respond, your kingdom come. Through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. Holy God, we come to you today with our prayers, with those situations and people that are on our hearts and minds this day. We pray for the life of your world. And in a moment of quiet, offer up those places that are at war, those places of unrest and famine and pain. Through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. Holy One, we pray for the life of our church here and your church throughout the world. We pray for the joys and give thanks for a growing congregation. And we pray also for the challenges of building repairs, of finance. Encourage us, we pray. Lead us and guide us. We pray for all who call this church home, those here today and those who are not with us. And in a moment of quiet, we pray for the life of our church and your church throughout the world. Through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. We pray for all those striving for truth and justice, those working for peace. Through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. We pray for those we know and love in need of prayer at this time, those who are unwell, those facing their final days or hours, those for whom today will be their last. In the quiet, we name those on our hearts and minds before God. through our lives and by our prayers. Your kingdom come. We draw our prayers together by saying the prayer that Jesus gave us together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Friends, we come to our final hymn, within which we will take up our offering for the work of church and circuit. There will be some baskets that pass amongst you. Please do give as you can or pass on if you need to. We sing together the great Charles Wesley hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 503. We sing together. Jenny's earlier invitation to please join us for refreshments if you are able, just through this door over here. Let's pray. We go now, sure-footed in faith, with eyes wide open, and waiting for God's glory to surprise us in unexpected ways. And may the blessing of God, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those whose lives we touch, now and always. Amen.